I think as parents, we assume that kids are going to just know the right way to do things. You have to teach them first and then train them by teaching them to do it over and over again until they actually get it.
Imagine trying to teach your child how to tie his shoes without the practice principle. If the practice principle is vital for teaching such morally neutral task as tying shoes, how much more important is it for training children in Christ-like character?
I speak to parents all the time who come up to me and they see what's happening, but they don't know what to do. And I just want to stand up and say, you can do this. Here is a solution.
This is Yvette Hampton, host of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Join us each week for a new episode as we offer encouragement and resources on biblical discipleship from popular speakers and authors, as well as parents just like you and me. Find out more at schoolhouserocked.com or listen anywhere you find your favorite podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. I am so excited to be back with you today, and I'm so excited about my guest tonight. If you had a chance to listen to the podcast this week, you got to hear from Miki Addison. And this one, this week's podcast, most of them I love. Well, I should say all of them I love. I mean, it's our podcast, so I love every one of our guests. But this week really rocked my world and Garrett's world. And just once again, God just brought it through you, Miki. I was so excited. And before we even aired it this week, we had already scheduled to have you live tonight. And God is just doing amazing things through you, through the podcast. We have been so encouraged by the response that we've gotten from the podcast and from the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. I don't say that because it's anything amazing that I've done or that Garrett has done or that Miki has done or that any of our other speakers for this event has done. It is what God has done through this event. And you guys, I cannot tell you the lives that are being changed through the truth of the gospel and through me just getting to sit here and talk with friends like we're having coffee and talking about the goodness of God and the things that he's called us to do and to be as parents. So Miki Addison, I am so glad to have you with me tonight. Thank you for joining me. Introduce yourself to our listeners, to our viewers.
Thank you so much for having me, Yvette. It is great to be back with you again. I enjoyed our time so much. I just felt like it was like sisters just fellowshipping and talking about who the Lord is and what he has revealed to us about what we should be doing with our kids. So thank you so much for having me back to do that again. I'm Miki Addison. I am the wife of Will Addison, and we have five kids, and we school them at home. We also are very active in raising awareness of what's going on in the culture and how the church is supposed to respond. We do that through our organization, the American Family Association, and we host a daily broadcast called Airing the Addisons, weekdays at 2 Central. And through that radio program, we're really just encouraging the body of Christ to hold the line. Like, it's our turn to get the gospel intact to the next generation. And we all do that in various capacities. Ours just happens to be via radio.
Yeah, I love it. It's such a great program. We listen to it, and God is just doing amazing stuff through you. So you guys, we would love to know where you are watching from tonight. And if you've been part of the Homegrown Generation Family Expo, you already know. If you have questions or comments, please post those. We can see them from where we're sitting. And if you have a question, put question in front of your question. That way we know it's a question and not a comment. But we would love to be able to answer your questions as we go throughout the evening. We're going to talk about some things tonight that I think will be a great encouragement to you. You know, there's no secret about what's going on in our culture right now and in our nation. I've never seen anything like this. Our parents, of course, are saying we've never seen anything like this. I mean, our whole world has been flipped upside down. Not mine, not yours. Everyone's world has been flipped upside down. And I talked about this last week a little bit, in that I'm finding so much joy in just knowing that God is sovereign. He is ultimately in control of everything that's happening right now. And this is all part of his perfect plan. And one of the most exciting things to me is that the Lord has brought children home to be with their parents and parents home to be with their children. And I don't say that flippantly, because I know that many parents are not used to that. You know, we've got the community of homeschool parents who were kind of like, well, not a whole lot has changed with us because this is what we do. This is who we are. We're used to being home together. And then you've got a whole lot of parents who this is very new for them. And so we want to bring great encouragement to those parents and come alongside them and just say, you know what, now that your kids are home, we just today, I'm in the state of Georgia, and just about 30 minutes ago, our governor declared even tighter lockdown. And he also declared that schools are not going to be back in session at all. They made it official. Schools will not come back in session at all for the rest of the school year. And so mm-hmm. now we've got a whole lot of kids who are home with their parents and moms and dads going, what do we do? What do we do with our children during mm-hmm. the day? And so I want to answer the question, not so much, what do you do? How do you homeschool? We did that last week in a session with Christy Clover, and you can go back to Homegrown Generation Family Expo to the website. It's homegrowngeneration.com, and you can watch that session with Christy Clover. But I don't want to answer the how to. I want to talk more about the why and the impact that we're having. And so again, this session, we titled the Impacting the Next Generation with the Gospel. And there's times, I mean, obviously all through history, the gospel is the living word of God, and it's important, and we need to dig into the word of God. But I don't think there's ever been a time in my life where I've seen it more important than right now, that we mm-hmm. are teaching our children the truth of God's word and pouring over them the gospel. And so, Miki, I would love for you to talk about what is the gospel. Maybe there's some who are listening to this and they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've heard that word gospel. I'm not even exactly sure what that means. So talk to us about the gospel. What does that mean for you and your family?
Well, you know, we were just actually recently talking about this, Yvette, because we've been studying through the book of Acts. And it's amazing how when you are just systematically going through the scriptures, there are all of these topics that kind of come up again and again, because the Holy Spirit has one message that he is communicating through the authors of the scriptures. And so we were recently looking at Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, and Peter gives like seven indispensable pillars to the gospel, right? So like, what is the gospel? And Peter kind of lays this out at the genesis of the church. So here we have Pentecost has come, and you've got the Holy Spirit who was promised to come. Jesus Christ promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, another one. And the Holy Spirit comes. And so now you've got all of these believers who have gathered and they're waiting. And people think that they're drunk because they are prophesying and they're speaking in tongues. But then Peter stands up and he lays out like seven, I would say, indispensable truths about the gospel, that Jesus Christ, basically in a nutshell, came from the Father to this earth to stand in our place, to take judgment in our place so that we could be reconciled to God, that he lived, that he performed miracles among us, and that those miracles served to validate that he was actually sent from the Father. Peter goes through all of this. It's amazing. And this one kind of monologue or sermon, if you want to call it, he talks about how Jesus Christ suffered, was crucified and died, how he was buried and how he resurrected again for us. And that belief in that finished work saves us. Belief in the complete work of Jesus Christ saves us. He also then is dispatched to those of us who put our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's a critical component that sometimes we skip over when we talk to our children. We tend to start with, you know, invite Jesus into your heart. And we say these things and we just want them to understand that we want Jesus to be Lord. We want Jesus to be on the seat of your emotions. But really, I think from the earliest age of accountability, we should strive to be theologically and biblically sound. And as much as we can, paint an accurate picture that Jesus Christ wants to be Lord of your life. Jesus Christ wants you to have a relationship with God as God intended, but that relationship was broken because of sin and rebellion. But through his sacrifice, he has paid the penalty, which is death, for our sin. And now all we have to do is believe that that work is sufficient, believe that what Jesus Christ did is enough, and we are justified because of what Jesus did. But then we go a step further and we say, there is a mark of and every believer, and if you hear my kids in the background, it's because we have five. But there is a mark in the life of every believer, and that is the deposit of the Holy Spirit, who leads us, who guides us, who convicts us of sin. And we begin at a very early age teaching our kids that now that you are converted, not only do you have this behavior modification, we're not looking for you to just act good. We are now looking to see the fruit of the Spirit that should be evident in your life, because he has now come to take up residence in you. And so this is something that we talk about with our kids on a regular basis. Are you producing fruit? Is the Spirit of God producing fruit in your life? Is that something that I could look at in your life and say, yeah, they are active followers of Christ? And we don't paint this picture of it means that you live perfectly. No, because one of the jobs that we know the Holy Spirit has is that he convicts of sin. And so even in the life of the believer, when we miss it, when we are dishonest, when we are tempted to lie, the Holy Spirit's job is to say, that's wrong. Repent, confess that, ask for forgiveness. And so that all of that is presented beautifully in Acts chapter 2. And I would say that in a nutshell is the gospel.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that you talk about repentance, because that's, you know, it is believe, you know, believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and then repent of your sins and surrender to him completely, you know, and that's a hard thing to do as adults. And it's a really hard thing to teach our kids to
yes.
do. But, you know, in talking about the Holy Spirit, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, because the Lord will help us to obey. And I think you and I talked about this on the podcast a little bit this week, and is that, you know, our kids, maybe we didn't, maybe it was a different one, I can't remember, but you know, we tell our kids all the time, you know, you can't do this on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to obey.
Amen.
And it's so hard, because our human nature doesn't want to obey. You know, we have a child who's very strong-willed, and I understand her very well, because I am very strong-willed. And I tell her, I get it, honey. I know that you want so badly to have your way. I'm the same way. It's deep in me. You know, my parents, oh, God bless them, because I know I really gave them a hard time as a kid. You know, but it's all about complete surrender. And so when mm-hmm. we teach our kids, even as young children, to surrender their will to us as parents, because ultimately they're surrendering to the Lord, that's parenting, that's discipleship, that is teaching our kids how to follow someone else. Because when we try to do it our own way, it doesn't usually turn out all that well. So what a beautiful thing. And I love it, that having our children home, we have the opportunity to reach the hearts of our kids and to be the ones to disciple them and to teach them the truth of God's word. I want to talk about how to integrate the gospel into teaching our kids. And there are different ways to do that. Of course, we've got the academic side of school. And when everybody thinks of homeschooling, that's what they think of. They think of academics. You know, when you say, I homeschool my kids, people typically think, well, we do math and history and science and grammar, all these things. That's homeschooling, right? But it's so much more than that. And we talked a lot about this during the event. For those who missed it, go back and listen and join us for the actual entire Homegrown Generation event, because we talked so much about this. But that's just such a small part of it. The academics are kind of the icing on the cake, but the foundation of it. As a matter of fact, last night we took a family walk, and my youngest daughter was riding her scooter, and in our neighborhood, they're building some new houses. And so there is this house, and they were just preparing the foundation to be poured. They hadn't even yet poured it. So they've got everything underneath it, and they've got, what is it, rebar? Is that what it's called? The metal things?
Okay, sure.
I think it's called rebar. Some kind of bar. They've got pipes sticking out of the ground, and mm-hmm. they've got metal everywhere, and they've got the foundation of the foundation is wow. set. And now they're ready to actually pour the foundation. And so we, you know, had a very brief conversation about foundation. And, you know, I think about our children and think mm-hmm. about setting that foundation for them, because a house cannot stand unless it has a solid foundation. And so unless our children have a solid foundation to stand on, they're going to crumble, especially mm-hmm. in the world that they live in right now. They will never stand a chance unless they know what they believe and why they believe it. And so when it comes to academics, great if they can do math. Great if they know history. That's important mm-hmm. stuff. Great if they understand science. That's important stuff because it points them to Jesus. But the most important mm-hmm. thing is for them to know their Savior.
Yeah.
And so I would love for you, Miki, to talk about the importance of discipleship with our yeah. children and how we can go about doing that on a day-to-day basis.
Yvette, that's my passion. That's I'm in homeschooling for discipleship. That is the chief and primary reason that we educate our kids at home. It is where we spend the bulk of our time. It's my strongest conviction that is not only first and foremost, but it underpins everything that we do. It shocks people, especially my sisters in the homeschooling community, when I say, you know what? I'd be happy to pay someone to come to my house and teach math. I would do that. I would pay someone to come yeah. and teach science, teach philosophy. I mean, those things are great. And I enjoy being the one who gets to point some of those things out, you know, which, by the way, when we get to higher levels of math, I'm probably going to pay someone right. to do that because it's going to, you know, but what my bread and butter is, the thing that I enjoy the most and get such a kick out of is discipling my kids, seeing the light bulb go off when they are able to see my human condition confirms that the gospel is true. Yeah. They see it when they understand what the gospel is, that we are sinners, that we have rebelled against our creator, that everything that comes from us is set to rebel against God without intervention. That's the path that we're on. When they are able to see that in day-to-day life, you know, the temptations that are around them, you know, do I tell the whole truth? Do I put myself in a better light? You know, how do I treat my siblings? How do I treat my neighbors? These are golden opportunities for me to lay a foundation for my kids that will go beyond the four walls of my home, that they can take out into the world. My passion is to get the gospel intact to my kids so that they can pass it down intact to their kids, so that they can share it with a culture that is dead and dying, many lost and don't even know it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Many are lost and don't know it. We were just talking about that today, you know, that so many are going to come face to face with God and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, so many are deceived today. And so there is no greater thing than being able to teach our kids the gospel. You know, mm-hmm. we were, you and I just briefly talked about Deuteronomy 6, and this is kind of the homeschool verse, if you will, that mm-hmm. that most Christian homeschoolers use. But I want to actually read it because I want to really kind of focus and hone in on this. And it's Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And basically, I'm not rewriting the Bible, but that could basically just be summed up and said, you shall teach them diligently to your children always, mm-hmm. all the time, always. And so we have the opportunity to do that. Now, everyone across the country has the opportunity to do that with their kids because our kids are home with us.
That's right. That's
right. And so does your family do, I know you guys read the Bible together. You talked about, you know, that you're studying Acts. Do you do a family worship time together each day?
Now, describe that to me. When you say a family worship time, what is your definition of that?
Well, for our family, we actually read through the Bible. We exposit verse by verse uh-huh. and we take turns reading whatever. Right now we're in Genesis and we're reading about Joseph and Joseph has just, you know, been made in charge of all of Egypt. He's mm-hmm. going to save them. And so, you know, we take turns reading and then we spend time praying together. Sometimes we'll listen okay. to worship music. But that's kind of a set apart time that our family does each day. However, you know, we all day long, I mean, Deuteronomy 6, you know, when we walk by the way, when we go for family walks,
yes.
when we're just walking throughout the day and talking about just things. We often are talking about scripture and about just God's plan for them and the things that mm-hmm. God is doing. So it's kind of a natural thing for us all the time, but we actually do set aside a specific yes. time each day for our family to really dig into God's word.
Yes. So when our schedule is perfectly executed, and we've had a lot of interruptions in the last few weeks, but when our schedule is perfectly executed, this is the first part of our day. This is how we start our day in the morning. And I started setting a timer because I realized that I would always say, it's okay if we go over. It's okay. Like, because so many of our kids' questions just beg for more exposition. Like, we've got to go a little bit deeper. And I love it. I absolutely adore that. But yes, we do that daily. Now, my husband does something, and I really appreciate this. He wants them to be in the habit of reading the Word of God alone. Mm-hmm. So he had them each decide what book of the Bible that they're going to read through and to begin writing some of their notes, like take notes on what you're reading, and then we'll get together and we'll talk about it. And I love that, because what he's trying to do is to train them that, hey, even when we're not together and talking about it, this is your faith. You have a relationship with the Lord. So yeah, so our family does family worship, family devotion together. We call it Bible study. We get together, we study the Bible, we pray as the Lord leads. And then also we try to train the kids to read and pray on their own. And so they're doing that daily. And it's really neat because they kind of have a war of where we're going to place our bookmark. Do I put the bookmark in Acts where we're reading as a family, you know, or do I put it like my son is reading through Mark? Do I put it in Mark? And so it's just kind of funny to see how they process all of this. But we want it to be as natural to them as breathing. This yep. is how we live. Like, it's not anything special. It's not, we're not having this huge orchestration, but yep. followers of Jesus read the Bible, followers of Jesus pray. And we talk about the scriptures in as natural a way as possible. When we see the human condition rear its ugly head,
yeah,
let's talk about how this confirms that we need a savior.
Yes, yes. We do the same with our girls. As a matter of fact, our oldest, when she turned 13, she wanted, of course, to start wearing makeup. That was her thing. You know, she wanted to wear mascara and, you know, eyeshadow, all that stuff. And so Garrett said, okay. He said, well, I'll make you a deal. He said, it's so much more important for me that you are beautiful inside than outside. Mm. So here's the deal. You cannot put on makeup until you have spent time in God's word.
That's great.
Let me tell you, and she doesn't wear makeup every day. You know, she wears it sometimes when she's, you know, with friends, whatever. She's not the super vain, like has to look amazing. So she always looks amazing. She's beautiful. But you know, I loved his wisdom in that, you know, it, like, her inner beauty just is so much more important than her outer beauty.
That's so good.
And so just teaching her. And like you said, it just becomes part of their everyday thing. Our youngest, she's a pretty good reader. And she actually does read. We take turns reading the Bible, but she stumbles on some words sometimes. So mm-hmm. when she does her Bible time, she actually listens to the Bible. She does an audio version of the Bible. She uses Bible.is, I think, is the app that she uses. And so it's awesome. It's dramatized. And so she listens to the different voices, and she'll listen and she'll play Legos or play with her dolls or do whatever she's doing at the time or draw. And it's such a fantastic way, because she's, the word of God is just pouring into her. And we celebrate every time they finish a book. They're actually both kind of reading through the Bible. And so whenever they finish a book of the Bible, you know, we always, they come out and they're like, I just finished, you know, Exodus. And we all share, and it's exciting. But you're right. I mean, it just needs to become part of their everyday life and living. You know, we pray for our girls all the time that the Lord would be raising up godly men for them who will lead their families spiritually.
Yes.
And that's, it's something I see in a lot of families, but I don't feel like I see it in enough families. Mm-hmm. Of parents really taking seriously their role of raising up godly husbands and godly wives. And so we pray, Lord, please, please be raising up godly men for them right now.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Amen. So,
let's talk, because we're talking about impacting the next generation, I want to talk a little bit about culture right now. And we talked about this mm-hmm. on the podcast a little bit, but what are you seeing? And kind of the culture shift, a lot has changed in the last few years in our mm-hmm. culture. And I would love for you to answer the question, kind of why do you think we've gotten to the point where we are? What was missing? And how can we bring revival back to our nation?
Yeah. It's interesting that you would ask that question, Yvette, because I was just looking at George Barna, who is now with Arizona Christian University. He's doing research there. I was reading some information where he noted that 1 in 5 born again Christians, like 1 in 5 evangelical Christians, have a biblical worldview. This is something that we think about all the time. Like, how have we seen such a rapid decline in our culture? And I think the rapid decline is because there's been a rapid decline in Christian culture, for lack of a better word, meaning that we have, I guess, over the years, we've tried to be so relevant that we have so meshed in with the world that we've lost our distinction. And when the body of Christ is not distinct, well, remember, we're supposed to be salt and light. So if we are just like the world, then we're not change agents. We're not preserving. We're not lighting up darkness. And I think one of the reasons we've seen such a rapid decline is because there is a disconnect between what Christians say and what Christians believe and how Christians live. You know, probably like I was talking about this the other day, like the number one apologetics verse is 1 Peter 3:15, right? Be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. So be ready to defend the gospel, be ready to defend the faith. And we want to raise defenders of the faith. But I think that what we miss among Christians is what precedes Peter's charge in that letter. So if you read through 1 Peter, one of the things that by the Spirit of God, Peter does is he lists different institutions and tells each of those institutions, people who are members of each of those institutions, live differently. So this is slaves to your masters. This is Christians submitting to authority. This is wives submitting to your husbands. And so he goes through all of these institutions. And basically what he says is, we are not of this world. So you've got to live counterculturally. So everything that the world is doing, you're supposed to do something different. Keep in mind, Peter is writing this during the time of Nero and his persecution. And he's saying, honor the emperor. So he's saying, live different, submit to authority, right? But why does he say to do that? Because ultimately where he's going to get is, as we break down with Bible chapters and verses, is 1 Peter chapter 3:15. Then he says, after you've lived differently, after you've shaken up the culture and people are looking at you and saying, why? Why are you doing that when he doesn't deserve that respect? Why are you honoring your husband, children? Why are you obeying your parents? He says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. It means that living counterculturally is provoked by this high hope that we have, that this is not all there is, right? And so God calls us to live by a different standard. When we are doing that effectively, Yvette, then people are going to look at us and they're going to say, why? However, as it is now in our current culture, we are not provoking the question, why? Our lives look just like everybody else's lives. Our lives are not interrupted for the Lord. Our lives are not being radically lived out in a way that is so different that people say, okay, I need to know what's going on with you because you have peace in the midst of this pandemic. Or I need to know what's going on with you because maybe your kids understand sexual identity and they don't think that there's 57 genders. What are you doing that shores up your kids' resolve that no, there's only 2 genders, there's male and there's female? If our kids are taught to be accepted and to be loved, you need to be like the people you're among, then we actually render them powerless. Because the way you get to defending the gospel, even if you give them all of the answers, okay, if you get this question, this is your answer, all right? This is the age of the earth. This is how we defend this. You can give them all of the answers, but if you're not raising them to provoke the question, then you just have eggheads. You have kids who know a lot, but they're not living in such a way where now they're going to get to express that in any type of authentic way.
So how do we do that with our kids?
Well, I think not only do you mean, how do we raise them to be counterculturally? Or to live counterculturally? Well, I think it starts with the parents. I know I say this a lot, but I think we as Christians have to have a genuine distaste for the things of this world. if we love the world, it creates a barrier between us and the Father. And it's a constant tension that the Christian lives in. And here's what I mean. We love people, but we don't want to live like people who are in rebellion against God.
Right.
We need to be out in the world sharing our faith, but we don't want to participate in the darkness that is rampant in the world. So I think if as parents, we show our kids, and it's a delicate balance, but if we show our kids that we fight for this balance, then they begin to model that themselves. They begin to kind of mimic that. They realize that we have one consistent thought, and it is that the word of God is true. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, as parents, we want our kids to submit to the Bible's definition of human sexuality and sexual identity. We want that, right? Mm-hmm. But if we don't teach them that all of the word of God is true, right, but we send them to the Bible for a defense on that issue, they think, well, that's all you care about. It's like, well, you only want to go to the Bible for that. But we have to show our kids that the word of God is effective for all of the issues that ail us, right? So the first step I would say, Yvette, is that what we have to do is, as parents, we have to resolve, and I don't mean self-will, I don't mean self-empowerment. I mean, we have to make up in our minds that we're not of this world.
Yeah.
I jokingly say all the time, you know, we've got to get back to being peculiar. We've got to make peculiar great again. Like, that's what we're supposed to be, people who, when the world looks at us, they see people who don't quite fit in to this world, but they are in this world. It's like Franklin Graham and what they're doing in New York, Samaritan's Purse, and they're responding to the desperate need that they have. They did a pop-up hospital right across the street from like Central Park, I want to say. And so they're going to work. They're getting it done. They've got doctors. They've got volunteers. They've got all these people who are mobilized. But not only did Samaritan's Purse do that in New York, they also did it in Italy. And the reason I bring up Italy is because in Europe, Franklin Graham was going to be doing this evangelistic tour, but in the UK, they canceled like 7 of his events because of his views on marriage and his views on human sexuality. And yet and still, Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse still went to Italy because there was a great need there. So it's like, no, we're going to maintain our testimony, but we're also going to be in the world to meet the needs that they have. I think our kids need to see this. I think we need to encourage our kids to do this, to help, to be an encouragement, but at the same time, not to compromise what they believe. If I could just say one other thing about this, we don't mean to do this as parents, but we teach Christian kids sometimes to be far too nice to the openly rebellious against God. Hmm. And here's what I mean. So we teach our kids, oh no, don't talk about that. That's controversial, right? But think about kids who are being raised and immersed in the culture. There's not much that's off limits for them.
Right.
If you listen, these kids often are talking about what they believe on major issues at younger and younger ages. Well, I believe that this can be this, and I believe that you can be whatever, and I believe in all of these things. But for our kids, we tell them, shh, don't you're going to offend people. You don't want to offend people. Let them loose. You have given them the truth. When they are confronted with opposition, let them loose, because the world is not kind of playing it safe and making sure not to offend you or your kids. So we've got to teach our kids that when they're in, and my kids do this all the time. And, you know, initially I would feel like, oh goodness, but I realize we've got to let them go out with the equipment that we've given them. And it's the truth. So when they're in situations where, you know, I'll give you an example. My daughters a couple summers ago were in the backyard, and there was a kid from our neighborhood, and she wanted to come into the backyard and play with them. And I said, it's fine. And usually I start out by allowing the kids in the house because I like to observe. Uh-huh. I want to know what I'm dealing with. I want to listen to conversations, and I want to know. And a couple summers ago, my daughters were in the backyard, and they were just playing around, and my older daughter comes in after the kids are all done and the little girl went home, and she said to me, "Mom, you know," she says, "so-and-so says that she really wants to be a dude." She wants to be a dude. She wants to be a dude. And Mariah says, I was like, "What? No, you don't." She says, "You know, God made you who he wanted you to be. You're a girl, and that's what you should want to be." And then, but this friend didn't stop. This friend said, "No, I want to be a dude. And you know what? You want to be a dude too." Oh. And she goes, "Absolutely not." She's like, "I love who God has made me. This is what he designed me to be. And this is also what he designed you to be." And so when you think about that, we kind of think that when our kids get older, they're going to go out into a culture and they're going to have to face the onslaught of the culture. Well, honestly, our kids are facing the onslaught of the culture right now. My 10-year-old was in a conversation with a kid who is educated in a traditional school setting, where even though he said he believes that God exists and he called himself a Christian, 10 years old, everything that he said was that he was agnostic. Now, he doesn't know that that's what he's saying, but my son was able to reason with him and to talk about the inconsistencies in his viewpoints. Like, "Buddy, that doesn't make sense that you're saying this about God while also denying that he is the creator, that we have a fine-tuned planet that God designed, you know, fine-tuned world for that matter." And so anyway, these are the types of things that I feel like we've got to train our kids to push back, to ask questions, to not just take the answers that are given to them. We've got to train our kids to respect us. So that the world looks out and sees that we don't have kids who just talk back to us however they want, that they honor us, that they don't lie to us. Again, in the context of 1 Peter, when the world sees this, it provokes the question, why? We want parents to ask us, how did you do that?
Yeah.
How are you raising a teenager who submits to your rule that you've got to read the Bible before you put on makeup? I mean, that's just foreign to people. They would hear that and say, "I have no control over my 13-year-old. Well, honestly, that should be foreign to the Christian. Should be like, "Wait, what? Like, you have no control." You know, I mean, that's a problem. So these are all of the practical ways I think that we provoke the question, why do you guys have the hope that you have?
Yeah, amen. You know, we've often talked on the podcast and during this event that we're not raising children, we're raising adults.
That's right.
And so we're training them up to become the adults that God created them to be. And we talk about being salt and light. Well, when you actually think about that, you know, you think about salt. I love salt. I'm one of those people that I will put salt on just about everything because I just love the taste of salt. Things without it are kind of bland, you know.
Uh-huh. That's right.
We should be the joy, the good taste in people's mouth when they encounter us as families and as as they encounter our children and the neighborhood kids. You know, we've got kids in our neighborhood that my girls play with, and what a joy and a blessing. And they're not perfect, you know, our girls are their children, but
yes,
I hope that people see, and we pray all the time as a family, every day we pray, you know, "Lord, help us to be a light in a very dark world," because that's what he's called us to be. And again, he has put us here and he has put our children here for such a time as this. He has us here on purpose and for a purpose and for his purpose. And so what a great opportunity we have to be able to shed that light and to give people that taste. I love that you're teaching your kids to spread truth and not to be afraid to speak up, because I think that we're in talking about culture, we are where we are because for too long Christians have been silent. We've been too afraid to offend, but you know what? Sometimes the word of God offends.
That's right.
And that's okay. It's not wrong, but truth offends sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to apologize for that. And so, you know, anyway, it's an amazing responsibility that we have as a parent.
That's right.
To raise up these children. We have them for such a short time. I realize that more and more every day. Mm-hmm. That our time with them is so very short. You know, people, when you have your first baby, I mean, I remember when Brooklyn was first born and people constantly were saying, or when I was pregnant with her, you know, enjoy it because they grow up so fast.
Yes.
And not so much with Lacey, I think, because they, you know, I already had one, but there's something about that first child.
Yes.
That people want to warn you and just say, just enjoy it. They grow up so fast. And they do. They grow up so fast. I cannot believe that I have a 14-year-old. How is that possible? She was just born yesterday. You know, it's an amazing responsibility that we have, and we have them for such a short time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love your wisdom. I love that. And one of the things that I have realized more and more about myself and about other Christian parents is that, and we say this all the time, is, you know, you can't teach your kids what you don't know.
Right.
But I think sometimes we hear that and we think, well, I don't know enough about the Bible to teach it to my kids. Mm. I don't know enough about God to teach him to my kids. Well, we can learn right along with them. I mean, mm-hmm. We all have so much to learn. Anyone who says, oh, I've read the Bible and I now know everything about it is a liar, because there's right. no possible way that we could know everything and even comprehend everything that's in God's word. And so that's why we keep studying. That's why we keep, you know, I'm studying American history with my girls this year and I'm loving it because mm-hmm. truth be told, I don't remember all that much about American history.
That's right.
And so I think I'm more excited than they are. I'm like, this is amazing stuff. You know, we yes. just read about Pocahontas today and I'm like, I didn't know all this stuff about Pocahontas. Like I've
that's
heard
awesome.
Of her and I know I studied her in school, but I don't remember any of these details about her.
Yes.
And it's so exciting to learn along with them. So for the parents who are like, I don't know enough about the Bible, pick it up and read it mm-hmm. together and learn together and find good Christian, you know, leaders who can help lead you. If you have questions, you and I talked about this on the podcast, Miki, in that help teach our children to go to God's word for everything. You know, don't
Amen.
Take our word for it.
That's right.
But go to God's word, because his word is the only authority that matters. And mm-hmm. so we have a great opportunity to learn along with our kids. And we should be doing that all the time, always learning with them, because there's so much to learn about God. We're never going to learn it all.
No, absolutely not. You know, I remember, and I hope that this is not too controversial to say, but I remember when I was growing up and we were watching The Cosby Show, like in real time when it was like a new show, yep. you know? And I remember there was an episode where Rudy Huxtable was deciding that she was going to drop out of elementary school. She was done. And I remember her family at the time trying to convince her that she was not going to be successful in life because, you know, she only had like a third grade education. I think it was Rudy Huxtable, may have been Olivia. I can't remember. But one of the lines that I will never forget is that she asserted, well, I'll just teach second grade. Right. And so I think about Christian parents who are tempted to feel that you're ill-equipped. Teach what you know.
Yeah.
Teach what you know. If you've learned this, if you have found this, if you have studied this, teach this that you have found, that you have studied. And as you are teaching that, as you are communicating that to your kids, allow the Lord to continue to pour in more and more, to go deeper into the word of God. I think the enemy wants to incapacitate parents yeah. so that you feel like if you're not a super apologist, or if you don't have your finger on the pulse of this, then you're useless. That is a lie. We teach our kids what we can teach our kids. For example, I am not artsy and crafty. That is not my gift. I am not a good gardener. That is not my gift. I have other friends who are. I'm not going to feel pressured to teach that to my kids. It's not something that was given to me. So what I have, I'm going to give to my kids. What I have learned about the Lord, I'm going to give to my kids. Now, I'm going to make sure that that's ever expanding. I want to grow deeper and deeper in my knowledge of God, right? But what I have at the time, I'm going to pass on to my kids.
Yeah, I love that. By the way, if you guys who are watching have questions, feel free to pop those up. We'll wrap up in a few minutes, but we'll be glad to answer any questions you might have. But that's so true. I mean, God has made us capable as parents. And that is one of my greatest prayers for right now, what's going on right now in our nation, where all these parents are forced to be home with their kids for the first time ever.
Yes.
That they will open up their eyes, that the scales would fall from their eyes, and that they would realize that they are enough, that they are capable of teaching their kids, of discipling their kids.
Yes.
They don't need someone else to do it. You and I talked about on the podcast, Luke 6:40, a student will become like his teacher.
That's right. You know, when he's fully trained.
Be the teacher that God created you to be for your child, because he gave your children the perfect parent for them. You are the perfect parent for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to equip you with every single thing you need as a mom and a dad to be able to teach the things of God. Mm-hmm. He's not going to leave you hanging. That's what the Holy Spirit is for.
Amen.
He's not going to just leave us hanging and, you know, make us sit around going, well, I have no idea how to do this thing. You know, I was able to teach my kid until they were five, but then I have no clue what to do with them. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're the parent.
So
you
good.
Know your kids.
That's right.
Better than anyone. And not only do you know your kids better than anyone, next to God, who has a love so infinite that we can't even imagine, no one in the world loves your children like you do, like
That's
mom
right.
does, like dad does. And no one has their best interest in mind like
That's
mom
right.
and dad. And so
That's right.
run with it. Run with what God has given you and trust him to fill in the gaps, to allow you to make mistakes, and to be the parent to your child that he has created you to be.
That is so good. You know, I tell my son, just to your point about us knowing our kids so well and being equipped to deal with the things that we see in them. And I joke with my son because he's like, Mom, how did you know I was thinking that? How did you know I was doing that? You know? And I tell him, because look, I've been watching your thoughts before you knew that you were having thoughts.
Yep.
Like before you knew, I have been watching your expressions and understanding you for a very long time. And that is the blessing that we have. And even if you have adopted kids into your family, the Holy Spirit will equip you to discern and to know those children
Yep.
that you have graciously taken in so that you can train and equip those kids as well.
Yes, yes. Amen. I want to go back really quickly because I just feel like I need to say this, maybe for those who missed kind of the first part of this, and that we're talking about impacting the next generation with the gospel. And we're talking about homeschooling, and homeschooling is a great thing. And many are not homeschooling, but doing what, you know, they're schooling at home or doing distance learning, whatever you want to call it. Your kids are home with you right now. The academics are not the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let me explain to you why academics are important. And there's only mm-hmm. one reason that they matter at all. They don't matter because when we come face to face with Christ, he is not going to ask us how well our kids did in math, what kind of grade they got in their science test, how much they knew about history. He's not going to ask them any of that. But the reason that they need to know these things is because when you go down the list of all of the academics, is that we teach our kids the basics of math. And I've told my kids, mm-hmm. I'm like, you just have to know the basics. I mm-hmm. really don't care if you do not have to be a scientist or a historian or a mathematician, whatever. I don't care. You be what God created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
But with math, you know, we learn that because we see God in math. We see that God
That's
is
right.
God in order, not chaos.
That's right.
And
That's
science,
so good.
We see God as creator. We see everything that he created, from the stars and the planets to the human body to plants and animals, everything. We see the hand and the fingerprint of God, and mm-hmm. all that they learn regarding science. But they don't have to know. I don't care if my kids don't know the Latin name for every plant that they ever come across. I really couldn't care less. If you know that it's a rose, great. That's good enough
yeah.
for me. You know
yeah.
it's a red rose, that's even better. You know your colors.
yeah, yeah.
You know, with history, they need to know history because they need to know the history. And man, you look at what's going on in our country right now,
mm-hmm.
and there's no better time to be teaching kids the history of God's word
mm-hmm.
and how people who were in rebellion to God suffered.
Yes.
And how
oh,
we
yes.
are suffering because of the rebellion and our world turning our backs on God and rejecting mm-hmm. him over and
yes.
over and over again. And so that's why history, I don't care if you know what year the Declaration of the Independence was signed. I mean, it's important as Americans. We need to know mm-hmm. those things. But when you come face to face with God, he's not going to ask that. He's not going to say, mm-hmm. okay, here's your history test. I hope mm-hmm. you pass it because that's what you need to get into heaven. No, he's going to say, what did you do with my son?
Mm-hmm.
How did you serve me? How did you impact my kingdom? How did you make a difference? How were you the salt and light? And so I love that you talk about that, Miki. You talk about how to be the salt and light, being different, being set apart from the rest of the world, being peculiar. I love that word.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should make a hat. Make me feel you're great again.
Yeah, again.
Maybe it could be a, I don't know. What would be a good color for that?
It couldn't be red. Maybe purple.
Yeah, maybe purple. We can't do red. There's another hat out there about something, making something great.
I don't know.
That's red, yeah, so maybe. We can't do that. Yeah. but man, you know, for parents listening, teach your kids academics. But if your kids are home with you right now and you don't know what to do with them, love them, build a relationship with them, and then you teach them how to build a relationship with the Lord, because that is what matters. That is the only thing that matters, is teaching them to love their Savior and to be in full submission to Him.
That's right. That's right. You know, I want to say something to the point that you're making. And I love, Yvette, how you so beautifully laid out just the eternal beauty and all of the different subjects that we study. I think that was just wonderful. And I would say that in addition to that, when you look in the scriptures, you look at the New Testament and the proliferation of the gospel, I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul in particular. And Paul at Areopagus, how he's able to, you know, talk to the men of Greece, right? He's in Athens and he's able to be at sort of the pinnacle of knowledge, right? I mean, this, you know, Socrates has come through here. Plato has come through here. And so he's among all of these great thinkers. And Paul is able to draw from what he has learned. He says, as even some of your own poets have said. So he understands poetry and philosophy. He understood the moment that he was in. So when we are teaching our kids all of these subjects, the Lord will use these things as well to advance the gospel, right?
That's right.
And those things are planted inside their heart. And so they're able to sprout up at the appointed time.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Oh, goodness. Well, I love this. I love just the topic of discipleship, because it's what matters. It's all that matters. I want to close really quickly, unless you have anything else. I have a verse that I want to close with.
No, that's great.
But I want to close with John 16:33, and it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God has overcome the world. God is in control. He knows all of this. He knows the struggles in your home. He knows the struggles in your heart. He knows the struggles in your kids, but he's overcome the world. And he says, take heart, because our peace, our only peace, our only hope, our only joy is found in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so go home and teach that to your babies. Read God's word with them. If you're not comfortable with reading out loud the Bible, find a Bible app and a good, solid version of it, and listen to it together as a family, and do family worship together. You know, worship through song and through praise. And I'm grateful that we have the freedom to be able to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Miki, thank you so much for your time today. You are such an absolute pleasure. I'm loving getting to know you. Thank you for your ministry.
Me too. God bless you.
Really quickly, tell people where they can find out more about you and where they can hear your show.
Okay, so you can go to afa.net to learn more about our organization, the American Family Association. And while you're there, you can click on AFR, American Family Radio, and get a list of all of our programs. Our show is called Erin the Addisons. And so you can also download the podcast if you want. And it airs 2 to 3 Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And we'd be happy for people to listen in and call in. It's a live call-in show, so they can push back, have conversation. We just love seeing the body of Christ equipped.
Yes, it's such a great show. You guys definitely listen to it. Go to afa.net, you said, right?
Yes.
And you can learn more about that. And Miki, you do the show with your husband.
I do.
Together. So you guys get to interact together and bring encouragement and bring truth. And so it's such a fun show to listen to. I'm loving it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you guys, thank you for joining us again for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. If you are just joining us for this live session right now, we're in April now. So in February, I can't say last month anymore. In February, we did a week-long event. It was an incredible event. Again, not because of anything I did. It was just what the Lord did through that week. And we had incredible speakers who just brought truth and encouragement. And we talked about everything, homeschooling and discipleship and family. We have a whole, we did one whole day on family relationships, and we talked about marriage and parenting and sibling relationships. And then we talked about just about everything you can imagine with homeschooling. And it was fantastic. And so you can still sign up and watch that entire event and and just get the encouragement that you need and resources. As a matter of fact, the swag bag, because all the registered attendees got a free swag bag, and that swag bag is still available. So if you register, it's $20 for the entire event. You can still watch the whole thing, have access to the swag bag, and we will continue to do about one live session a week. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks from tomorrow, which is going to be April 16th, we have Kirk Cameron coming back on with me. And if you have seen his movie Monumental, you have, I'm certain, been encouraged by that movie. That is actually my favorite of all of his movies. And I think I've seen them all, except Left Behind. I've never watched his Left Behind movies, but I don't think he watches those either. So that's okay. But if you haven't seen Monumental, watch it with your kids during this time, because it is such a great movie. And so Kirk is going to come on, and he's actually going to talk about, he's going to talk kind of about Monumental and the monument and that he visits during this film that he made. It's a documentary, and it's so well done. And he's going to talk about just the founding of our country and the foundation of godly wisdom that we were set upon. And so join us for that. That is going to be a premium session. So that is going to be for registered attendees of the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. But again, if you register, it's $20. You'll get that live session. And it's going to be live and interactive. So you can interact with Kirk and ask him questions and say hi to him and stuff. He is a super great guy. If you watched him during the session back in February, you'll know he's just really fun and interactive. And so you will enjoy that session. And then we've actually got another one coming up. We're still working on the date, but it's going to be Kevin and Sam Sorbo. And they're going to come on and they're going to do a date night session and talk about marriage and bring marriage encouragement. So that would be a great one for you to watch with your husband. Again, that one's going to be a premium session. So you have to be registered for the event, but we will still continue to do some free sessions for you just to bring the encouragement that you need. So go to homegrowngeneration.com and you can register for the entire event there. But we are praying for you. I want you guys to know that we pray for you, parents, the Christian community, you know, the leaders of our country. We pray daily. And so pray with us. Let us know if there's a way we can be praying for you, or a way that we can just serve you, because that's what God has called us to do, is to serve you, the homeschool community, and now the community at large, since everyone's got their kids at home. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you. Miki, thank you again for joining me tonight. You are such a blessing.
God bless you.
Thank you guys for joining us. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and we will see you back here again soon. Bye-bye.